to episode 195 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, Laura, and Elizabeth. Remember when travel meant long transatlantic sailings on unsinkable ships with your 16 steamer trunks and your dog? Okay, so we don't remember those days either. But we do know that modern technology plays a big role in modern travel. Everything from airplanes to mobile phones make our travel lives easier and easier. So what are our favorite gadgets and apps? And what are yours? This week, we're sharing all of our suggestions for must-have travel technology. So let's get started. I saw you posted this, Elizabeth, on Facebook today.
I did. So I got some listener input, some of which I had never heard of before. So awesome. Do you want to start with hardware or software?
Let's do hardware because I kind of know what some of this is.
Yeah. I didn't add everything to the show notes either, so yeah. I have some others here. So my first one is I never travel without my Kindle. I think Lindsay's the same way, right? A Kindle that is fully loaded, yeah?
Well, I have a tablet that's got the Kindle app on it.
You have the Kindle app? Yeah, I was going to say that too. You could just take a tablet with the app. I like the Kindle because I like the way it's lit, so.
Yeah, that's what I like.
What were you saying, Lindsay?
I like how it feels and how it's lit, and it doesn't hurt my eyes and my little old lady eyes, and then I can have 3,000 options.
Yeah.
Last night, I started to read a real book before I was going to bed, and I turned my light off. I was like, oh, I'm reading a book. To leave my light on.
You're so sad when the page didn't disappear. Yeah.
I was like, what? Lit up.
But it's not, it's, you know, for airplanes where you're not having to use your reading light, and then also on beaches where, you know, it's sunny
outside.
Out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's, my husband still reads on his iPad. He has a Kindle. Well, he's a Nook, actually. That's how old it is. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't like to carry two devices, so he reads on his iPad. And there have been times where he's put his towel over his head so that he can see his, you know, his iPad, which to me isn't part of sitting in the sun.
You might as well be sitting in
a waterproof Kindle.
Yes, that would be ideal. So what do you guys have, hardware-wise?
Well, I do have my Kindle. I only take my iPad everywhere, too, though. But honestly, like, I'm someone who always complains about GPS. I'd rather kind of know where I'm going and have looked at a map and stuff. But I do find myself relying more and more on things like Waze. You know, when I'm in a city and I just don't want to look it up beforehand, I know it's going to get me to where I need to go.
That's an app, Sandy.
Oh, that's not hardware. I used to haul my GPS with me.
I'm a photographer, and that's what I did in college and all. And, you know, I have an SLR camera, but, you know, it's so bulky nowadays that, you know what? I just use my cell phone.
Yeah.
Me too. I have a really nice one, and it's been collecting dust for years. And then I even tried to go to a midsize, and I'm the same way. I just went straight to using the phone. But do you use any of those little adapters you can put on your phone for zoom lenses or anything like that? I've seen those. They look pretty neat.
No, but I probably need to.
Yeah, I've heard that some of those are really good, actually. Again, I'm not a photographer. I can't take a good picture to save my life, but I've heard that some of those clip-on thingies are pretty good, actually.
I don't know. I think when I change phones next time, I'm going to go away from the iPhone, though, because the nighttime pictures on the iPhone are just crap.
Like half of us have in the family have Samsungs, and the other half have...
Do you see a difference?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think some of it is the photographer.
Okay.
Marcus takes better pictures with his iPhone 7 than I take with my 8.
So maybe that's my problem because I have a 6. But, like, I was at a concert recently, and you know how everybody's filming or taking pictures during the show. I could tell the difference. I could tell what type of phone they were using because iPhones were dark and Samsungs were good. And then whenever my son was getting a new phone, I was mentioning this to the sales guy, and then he had this little box that you could look in through like a regular, like he's like, look through your cell phone lens. And then he showed me through a Samsung lens, and their low light camera is just amazing. They really have like hooked it up. So I think that I'm switching to that next time.
That's the one thing I missed from the Galaxies. And we have so many of my old Galaxy phones. Cause I was Galaxy before I went to the dark side. And, I keep saying I'm going to charge one up and take it as a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I should probably do that. But then, and I guess with nowadays with Wi-Fi, I wouldn't have a problem getting the pictures off of there wherever I wanted to post them. But, and then it would probably save my battery life, which brings up the other, I can't leave without a portable battery pack.
Yeah.
Like my world ends. I was just on a work trip and I had been charging it last minute in the kitchen and did that thing where you tell yourself, I'm not going to forget it. I'm putting it right here. And then walked out the door and didn't realize I didn't have it. Had to survive with no.
Yeah. I have this great brick that it literally, I call it a brick because it's as heavy as a brick, which I didn't know when I bought it, but it's solar powered. So it supposedly recharges in the sun, but it holds an amazing amount of charge. It can charge like 4 phones without even going down a little bit. So it's great, but it's so heavy. So I do tend to find myself not packing it. I look at it and I'm like, I don't really need it. And then I'm like, man, I really wish I'd brought it.
I bought a fuel rod on my last Disney trip and I bought it in the airport. It's $10 cheaper if you buy it in the airport than at Disney. And I loved it. In fact, I'm going to definitely get my daughter one on our next trip. Maybe the boys, but her camera has gotten bad or her phone dies really quickly. So hers,
you still have an iPhone?
Yeah.
Elizabeth?
Yes, I do. I have an 8.
Yeah. You have 8 iPhones?
No, I have an iPhone 8.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, the last time I was in Verizon, they showed me this, you know the Mophies that they sell?
Yeah.
There's now a protective cover.
Yep.
That the Mophie, like, slips in the back end into, and it's kind of it's a, I don't know, updated Mophie or whatever, but your phone uses the Mophie before it uses the phone. So it'll use that first and then go to your phone.
What's a Mophie?
It's a portable charger. Okay. It's a brand name.
It's about as big as a deck of cards, but much thinner.
Yeah.
So it's really, really thin. And it's inside this, you know, like in the back of a OtterBox, like a rubber OtterBox. And it stays in there.
Yep.
Okay. And your phone just kind of plugs into it.
Yeah. And actually, my husband has one that's sort of like that, except it actually slips onto any case, but it's very thin and it's like attaches to the case. So you can, in theory, I think you can charge them both at the same time if you needed to, but, and he'll attach it when we travel. So far my 8, the battery's been pretty good on it. I have a fuel rod as well. And I think any portable charger, my son has a portable charger now that it looks like a stormtrooper. I mean, you can get all kinds, but, the fuel rod doesn't. It holds enough to maybe charge one phone, and then you have to. So you want to be sure you know where your charging stations are. At Disney, there is one in every park. You just have to, and two and in a couple of parks.
They're in the resorts too. The only problem with it is they don't have an app where you could find the closest one to you.
Right?
Have to know
that would make life so much easier.
Yeah. Why don't they do that?
Well, you used to be able to look it up on their website, but because that's what we did.
It's not. I don't know that it's like totally up to date. You know, you'd think they could put something in the charging station.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, because my friend who introduced them to me, Carolyn, shout out Carolyn. she actually did while I was with her, she looked it up because she didn't know where they were in Magic Kingdom. So she went on the website and looked it up and she's like, oh, it's in the circus place. And so we went over there and got it from the circus place.
I love it. I know it doesn't hold very much of a charge and Disney does kind of put them in, kind of off the beaten path places. You really got to hunt for that one in Animal Kingdom Lodge. I could
That one I found by mistake. And then I was like, oh, look, I know where this is. Yeah. But
yeah, I feel like they sort of did the same thing they did with their pin trading game where they put them in stores that people miss because they're not paying attention. And so it's like, oh, I didn't even know this store was here. Oh, really, Disney? Why'd you do that to me? I don't know. Maybe because I needed a cute new pair of Mickey Mouse ears. That's probably why.
Yeah, but in the contemporary, it's like, oh, I needed to go up this escalator to this empty floor. Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of chargers, we have discovered, and I know Laura loves chargers like this too, the multi-chargers where basically you get one big block that has 2 standard plugs and 4, 6 USB plugs in it. And so the whole family can actually plug into one plug.
Yeah.
So what do you call it? Laura, you call it the bagel?
Yeah, there's a bagel and a donut. The donut only has domestic plugs.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And the donut only has domestic plugs and the bagel has a universal.
Yeah.
And I had some clients going to Ireland and that's what I got them to take over with them.
It's such an important thing to have now when you're traveling, you know, unless you know you're going to a more modern hotel room where you're going to have options. I mean, you don't want to do that dance where you pull the nightstand out, unplug the lamp, am I going to say?
Yeah.
what am I unplugging from the wall that I shouldn't have? And then you have multiple people in a room. I've been in a room with three other runners. And everybody's got their Garmin and their cell phone and their camera and their iPod. And they're like, everyone has 15 things they need to laptop, need to plug it in charge. And there's like two outlets.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's, well, and when you're traveling internationally, you know, Chris and I went to Europe for the first time in a long time. You know, we basically had children and then we finally were able to go about 4 years ago. It was just the two of us. But by then we had, you know, phones and iPads. Mm-hmm. And so we just took two adapters for the countries. And then he had one and I had one. And we had to sort of just juggle our own, you know, each of us had a plug and we could juggle our electronics however we wanted to charge. And then I think Marcus got one as a gift, like for a birthday or something. And he showed up in Ireland with it. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing. Cause then we only need to use one adapter, plug that whole thing into the one adapter and boom, we can charge everybody's stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes more than, you know, I can charge two items at a time instead of just one.
That is the nice thing about the way they're like redoing hotel rooms and stuff now with more USB ports. Mm-hmm. Stuff. I love it when you see him like on the lamp.
Yeah.
You're like, yay. Here.
Although then there's always that disappointment. Maybe it's just me, but I plug my thing into the first one and it doesn't work. And I plug it in the second one and it doesn't work. So I have to like plug it into six before they start working.
That's totally
like,
you. Yeah.
my niece just graduated from high school and she won the scholarship to go study in Morocco. And so as a graduation gift and like trip present, I sent her one of those. And my sister said the other night that she got to Skype for their first time, and they're each allowed to Skype for like 5 minutes. And they were back and forth. She was like, I miss you. I love you. I miss you guys so much. And oh my God, tell Laura this thing is the bomb. She's like, she used a whole minute to talk to all about how cool that thing was and how much it's saving their life.
And I have a Google phone, so I have one of those weirdo plugs that doesn't fit in anything. Mm-hmm. So I do have my car adapter, and I always throw my car adapter in because even though I may not have a cigarette holder in the car I'm using, but it also has a USB end. Mm-hmm. So I can plug it into my laptop, I can plug it into a phone, a little charger, whatever.
Yeah, I have kind of that situation going on with the end of my iPhone cord. I use a special one that charges a little faster when you plug it in the wall, and it's got the little USB things on the bottom. But if I plug that in and I plug my antique MacBook Pro cord into the same outlet, you really got to jockey them for a position, or you can't quite get them.
Yep. And I do try to bring a three-pronged something, you know, like my MacBook, I make sure I have the three-pronged adapter with it so that I can be a little bit safer electricity-wise, because especially if you're staying in older hotels, you know, you're already plugging an adapter into a different volt current. So I do like to try and be as safe as possible with those. The USB ones aren't putting off that much electricity.
Wait. Back up. So you always make sure you bring a three-pronged because the older hotels, what now? Say
to plug into the like donut or bagel or whatever it is.
Gotcha.
Plug into that because they have a ground because it's grounded, so that I'm not.
So the bagel thing plugs into the decrepit wall thing that's falling apart.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's the decrepit wall thing that's falling apart is what I'm plugging all of my electronics into one.
Right.
Plug.
So it's like a surge protector.
Yeah, kind of. Well, so yeah, they most of them have one built in. Now we're getting into electricity, and I don't feel comfortable talking about it.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, I'm not an engineer.
We don't really.
We're finally going to get comments on the podcast. It's all going to be angry people going, don't you know anything about closed circuit electronics?
You need a ground circuit.
Does anybody travel with their own hotspot? I've been thinking about buying one, but
I think my phone is a hotspot. I don't know.
So one of our listeners, Heather, actually commented on this, that she likes the Wi-Fi hotspot rental. We actually did a Wi-Fi hotspot rental in Paris and loved it. All four of us used it the whole time. It was about the size of a tin of Altoids. Well, a small tin, the mini Altoids, not the bigger tin.
So like a MiFi.
It's a MiFi, yeah. Okay. And we could use it all over Paris. That was when we were still on Verizon and we didn't have an international plan. So we could have paid $10 a day for four phones to be on this international. And actually my kids, I don't think I think Athena's was an active phone, but Marcus's wasn't. It was just a dolled up iPod for him. We didn't have it activated. So he needed Wi-Fi in order to do anything. So we actually did a Facebook Live from the Eiffel Tower using that thing. I loved it. It was great. So then I get a Skyroam for my next trip, which is now, you know, I see them everywhere. But we used it in Ireland. And basically the first person who got on had a great signal and everybody else was just left out to dry. And since it was in my husband's pocket, guess who was on it first every single time?
So the one you rented, who'd you rent it from? Verizon? Or?
So I rented both of them. I bought the Skyroam. I rented the first one through one of our suppliers. So it was delivered to the hotel room. In Ireland, there was no such service that I could find easily. So I just went ahead and invested in the Skyroam thinking, I'll use this thing all the time. And I was so frustrated. I mean, literally, and Lindsay probably remembers me screaming on the van. I'm like, who's on the Wi-Fi? Because I couldn't download anything.
She's like,
this thing's useless.
With the poor kids, it was your husband the whole time.
Exactly. There was a couple of times where Athena was like, I'm downloading 6 apps. I'm like, honey. But that's, so there are, I've talked to travel agents who use the Skyrooms now and they love them. But I guess when you're just one person, that's fine. But when you're a family, it's not so much. So no, we switched over to T-Mobile and we use our phones as hotspots if we need to. I mean, you know, we'll just use our phone.
So you buy a Skyroam, you pay like, you pay
can rent it.
To buy it, right?
You can rent it. I opted to buy it, but you can rent
so
it.
So are you paying for Wi-Fi service too?
Yes. So you rent the machine or you buy it and then you buy minutes on like cards like you used to do with a throwaway mobile phone or whatever, where you buy the minutes. And so you load them on. And so it was a several step process too. My husband at night would go on and load up the minutes and then, you know, you'd have to turn it on and off and monitor how much you were using it. And, you know, and actually it wasn't by minutes, it was by day. So we would basically, once it ran out, we would be like, okay, let's not turn it on until we need Wi-Fi the next time. And then it would run for 24 hours.
Okay.
So basically we would try to use it until, you know, it would run out. If it ran out at 5 o'clock at night, we were like, we'll just use the Wi-Fi at the hotel till tomorrow. So we would not have it running overnight, ticking away. So it was this management thing too. So again, it works great for some. And with the MiFi that we rented, it was unlimited. It was like $80 for a week and it was unlimited data. And like I said, all four of us could be on it at the same time. We just had to be close enough to Chris, who had it in his pocket. While I was Facebook Living, I lost signal because I walked too far away from Chris. He was off looking at one thing and I was off. And of course, I fussed at him for that too. I was like, I was Facebook Living. You need to stay by me. I'm not looking at where I'm going.
You see that I'm talking.
Exactly. Can't you tell?
Well, I wasn't traveling with a wild pack of Wi-Fi thirsty heathens. Mm-hmm. I just paid the $10 a day for the AT&T. You know, use your own unlimited.
Yeah.
And that worked okay, but I couldn't get, there were some places, obviously, Facebook Live was not going to work for me. But it wasn't too bad. Yeah. I think for Ireland, for a destination like that, I would do the subscription or whatever your cell phone thing is in again. But for places like, if I go to Japan or something, you want that.
Yeah.
You want that.
Yeah.
That rental.
Yeah.
Or to buy one.
Yeah. Now, you know, with our service provider, we pretty much are covered most places. So unless we need it, we won't. And the Skyroam was a little bit clunky too. I think they've come out with new models, but the one we had was very, very flip phone circa 1994. It was, you know, a lot of the menus you're scrolling through. I guess I really, to be fair, you could compare it more to like the very first iPods where you had these controls that you didn't quite understand and you're hoping that you're hitting the right button to get to the next menu. So kind of like that. So I had, Jason actually recommended a portable router and I don't even know, that's getting into a realm. I don't understand why you would need to have a router in your hotel room, what benefit that would give you. But he said that
I guess if you are working.
Yeah, maybe.
Not on a leisure trip. I mean, if you're trying to get away, you know, sometimes you turn that stuff.
And maybe it's got a security thing on it where it's, because that's
now,
when you're
see,
using,
that
yeah,
I can
when
see.
You're using hotel Wi-Fi, of course, there's no, no protocol keeping anyone else from.
Yeah, especially if they say, oh, there's not even a password.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those of our listeners and travel agents like me who are here with you, And don't know the difference, or could you explain the difference between having a SIM card and a router and a MiFi?
No, we can't have that discussion.
Yeah, that is a very long discussion. But I will say, you know, a Wi-Fi is going to have a data system built into it to transmit to your phone. It's basically sending out a Wi-Fi signal that you can pick up, and it's retrieving data from out there. I don't know how. And then a SIM card is actually in your phone, and that's changing your phone over to whatever settings you need for that country. If you don't have those settings normally, it may also be changing your phone number and all that. So you can use a phone that you have, but take your old SIM card, take your normal SIM card out, put in another SIM card that has data minutes programmed onto it or whatever. And then
my dad tried to do that in Europe, and he couldn't get it to work.
I did it in Hong Kong, but I didn't do it. My sister did it, and she's used to, you know, trading them out all the time.
I think my dad does still have a flip phone, to be honest. He definitely doesn't have a smartphone, and he doesn't text, and, you know, like.
Yeah. If you're going to another country and you're going to be renting a car and you want to use your phone for GPS, is it advisable to get a SIM card?
Or something you need, or an international plan, or something that will allow you to use unlimited or great amounts of data for a period of time. So, you know, what Lindsay was describing was most service providers now, if they don't already have so T-Mobile has international coverage. You can get a plan where basically it works anywhere that T-Mobile serves. And T-Mobile is huge in Europe, but it also works in Mexico, the Caribbean. We've been able to use it very successfully pretty much everywhere we've gone since we got it. Verizon and AT&T both have those plans, like Lindsay was describing, where you basically say, yes, I want to be international for 10 minutes for a day. And it's $10 and you have unlimited internet. You know, yeah. You're now okay to use your phone wherever, because it's automatically switching you into a plan that lets you roam at an affordable rate.
And one of the things when I'm traveling and I have to do, I have to have a secure connection. I actually use my husband's laptop because his office has a VPN actually already scheduled on his laptop. And if you're talking about doing, you know, credit cards and things like that that are sensitive to other people's eyes, you definitely want to protect yourself by using some kind of a VPN source to cover everything up. Now, you can still use that public Wi-Fi for the signal, but it basically configures everything so nobody can read it.
Yeah, it's basically giving you a connection into a secure system.
Yeah, and there are apps that do that too.
Yeah.
That is so techie.
This is really not us.
I will say, like, when I'm on a work trip or something like that, and I usually tell my clients before I go, you know, I'm not going to be able to run a payment while I'm gone. These are the options.
Yeah.
I can do it before, or I can get someone else.
I can get somebody else to do it. Yeah.
But I'm very, very funny about like logging into my bank account on regular Wi-Fi, you know, like anything like that. Very, very funny about it.
So there's two.
Well, you should be.
Yeah.
There's two more pieces of tech that I want to talk about that are hardware before we move on to software. And we're a little bit more than halfway through, so I want to make sure we talk about them. Michael Eifley, he's a friend of the podcast. He's been a guest on our show before, mentioned noise-canceling headphones, which I can't believe that I didn't even think of. I think that
all my kids have those now, and they pretend like they can't hear me.
Well, they can't. They actually can't.
You don't think of it as hardware because you think of it as like, that's my soul. And if I don't have it, I'm not getting on the plane.
Right.
It's true. And if you've never used noise canceling headphones and you're like, why would I pay that much more for them? And you really have no idea what the benefit is. Airplanes are much louder than you think they are. So you end up turning your non-noise canceling headphones up so loud that you can damage your ears. You're turning it up so loud so you can hear it. So if nothing else, it's good for your ears. But it also just makes the whole trip much more enjoyable.
And
I mean,
voice canceling on, so I can't hear you.
And that's the excuse every time. After I have to call her three times, she's like, "Mom, I have the noise canceling headphones in." I'm like, "Why did I buy you those?"
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good one. And then the other tech that he mentioned, which I think we're drawing the line in tech, but this will move us from hardware to software very nicely, is smart wool. And I know Heidi's going, yay, and she's listening to this. But I didn't really think of it as tech, but I guess technically it's better living through chemistry. So yeah, all the smart wool that we've recommended packing to make your clothes warm but light and easy to wash are as another tech that Michael says he can't live without.
That's interesting. I actually have smart wool running socks that I wore at Universal Studios, and after one of the water rides, my friend got the worst blisters I've ever seen, and I was like, oh, I have my smart wool socks in. I am not getting blisters on my feet. Yeah.
She really didn't like you, did she?
Well, she went out and bought some. I mean,
at least for a minute. There actually was one other piece of hardware I want to talk about. A shout out to Elise, who is a plus size woman, a beautiful plus size woman. And she was talking, she mentioned this thing that I'd never seen before. It's called the Air Hook. And basically it's a tablet holder, electronic device holder to hold your tablet or your phone or whatever, and a cup holder that attaches to the top of your tray table while it's in an upright position.
Oh.
So the only thing that looks like it might be mildly annoying is if you're using a tablet, it's going to show everybody behind you what movie you're watching.
Oh, so don't watch Game of Thrones.
So don't watch Game of Thrones or anything. Yeah. Yeah. But, so there's
and
that.
If the person in front of you slams their, seat back,
then your drink will,
your phone can go in your drink.
So yeah. She liked that because she doesn't have to put the seat down.
Yes,
so
she can't put, put the seat all the way down. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. And honestly, that solves a few problems too, because that does take up a lot of space. So if you're not in economy plus or whatever, then, you know, you really don't have that much space for that tray table, no matter what size you are. Mm-hmm. So it just sort of alleviates some of that.
I like to watch Netflix, and I've been eyeing that one, and then there's another one, and I can't remember what it was called, but it's like a little bendable plastic thing that you can hook up on the, it doesn't have the cup holder part, but it'll hold your phone so you can watch movies at eye level.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, I see people with all sorts of props and everything propping up their phone, and I do it too.
I can't imagine watching TV on my phone. I mean, I know it's possible, but I feel like I would want at least my iPad.
Yeah. But this will hold an iPad as well. And the nice thing about that is if somebody bumps your seat, then the iPad probably will not actually go in your drink. It'll just hit your drink and come down into your lap, whereas the phone may actually go into your drink. Although it does hold the cup low enough where it's going to be stable, so you probably won't get a lot of splash unless you just got your drink, and in which case I would drink it down a little bit before I put it in there.
But. Or if you get in that aisle with you're on the aisle seat and the people at the in the window in the middle are like, I have to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was another podcast, wasn't it? That whole etiquette.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. So what about software? Because, you know.
Well, you already jumped the gun, so do you want to talk about your...
Well, I mean, yeah, like Waze I use a lot. I think it's really helpful because it'll take you around accidents and stuff. So so that's a good one. Definitely, if you're going to use it, though, I would bring a car adapter to keep your phone charging. Because my phone, there's no way my phone would last, like, more than an hour, you know, without... that. So,
and don't forget to have both. I have both Apple Maps if you have an iPhone and Google Maps loaded up, because when you're walking in a city, sometimes Apple Maps is actually better for walks than Google Maps is. Not always, but sometimes if you do have an iPhone, then you want to use Apple Maps because it'll also send your directions to your phone, so you can tuck your phone away. You're not walking around like an idiot looking at your phone. It'll tap you when you need to make turns and things like that.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. And I have found, you know, another thing is to ask locals what works well, because, you know, Apple Maps actually works very well in New York City. I've heard that a lot, and it has not steered me wrong yet. Whereas Apple Maps got me totally lost in San Jose, California, which I think is hilarious and completely uncalled for. You know, all they had to do was go out their back door.
They
and
all assume you know where you're
going.
Yeah,
I guess so. So, but yeah, I recommend having one or two map.
I don't ever use map ones for walking, though. I don't know why.
I use it all the time.
Yeah. And then I use the city maps to go, and then there's like a city mapper or planner or planet that goes over the, like the subway routes, the bus routes, that type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll also cheat. And if I'm in London and I need the tube, I'll download the tube app or in Washington DC, you can get an app in just about every major city.
Yeah. For the metro and
that
stuff
really helps.
Yeah. Sorry about my ding. Yeah, the New York one is crap. Either that or I've never figured out how to use it. The one for the New York subway system, I cannot read the thing. I've never figured it out.
Well, they all have to be getting better. I mean, you know, if you look at, like, apps even a few years ago compared to now, it's got to be better, right?
Yep.
I mean,
So in the line of travel guides, Heather, who we mentioned earlier, also brought up Rick Steves' Audio Europe for the walking guides in them. And there's a lot of things out there. Rick Steves is one good one, but there's a lot. If you're on your own or you don't want to do a tour or something, but you want to get some insight, he does have some walking tours that basically talk you along a route and tell you, you know, here you see this and here you see that. And now you walk around the corner. And yeah, and I haven't actually done one myself, but I've heard great things about them. So.
Yeah.
And Heather recommended them, so I trust Heather 100%.
Yeah, that'd be cool to check out, like, which ones there are.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I may try one when I'm there next. You
know. So the airline apps, I know some of them, I think it's United. I think Southwest does this, too, that you can watch TV and stuff on their apps. Like, they have a menu of free options. Like, it used to be when you flew, you had, like, one choice of movie. Everybody had to watch the same thing. You had to buy the little headphones, you know. But now you can just watch whatever, you know. There's a whole bunch of different options.
Yep.
I like to watch the map of where we are.
I'm going to break from all the practical things, and I'm going to tell you about the Untappd app.
Oh, yes.
Untappd is the craft beer app. And so if you're a craft beer junkie, like a couple of us on Outlander are, then what we do is, you know, you can look on there and you can find out where the local venues are that you can get craft beer. You can find out if you have your beer, the one that you like. You can find out who in the area carries it. So you can, you know, go wander over there. And it tells you how far from your location that brewery or tap room or bottle shop is. So you know how far you have to go.
And then if you track your beers, you can enter each beer as you drink them. You'll know why you're so drunk at the end of the night.
Or the next day when you look at
it. But you can also go, woohoo, I'm the first of my friends to try this beer, because it'll tell you, oh, well, your friends Donna and Mark and Lindsay have all tried this beer. And you're like, oh, man, I'm late to the party. Or you can be like, woohoo, I'm the first one to try it. And I've even added a beer before when I've gone to a brewery and they've just opened something for the first time. Okay. I've been able to add it to Untappd. So, yeah, it's sort of a social mapping beer extravaganza. Sure.
And I'm trying the wine app, and it's not as user friendly as the beer app.
And wine is boring. So she says that she takes a sip of her wine. Clearly, I really don't feel that.
Well, the wine app, because it's got to be a lot more intricate, because it's got vintages and years and things like that, and different types of the same wine. So they've got to have a lot bigger database than the beer one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wine people care more about what you put down for your review. Like, I don't know if anyone ever was to go through and read all of my reviews on Untappd, and like, fruity, not for me.
Yeah.
They make sense to me, but not necessarily to anybody else. I could see, the wine ones are a little more detailed, and it's kind of a... But they're there, and the other thing is it's great to find, they can help you find places to find the beer you want to drink too.
Yes. And to tie onto that, if Untappd is confusing you, I also use Yelp for that. And Yelp is I honestly can't stand Yelp for anything except restaurants. I do use it for restaurants all the time. And I have found some amazing gems, because you're in the middle of London in Covent Garden. And you're like, I'm hungry. And you see about six places around you that clearly are catered to tourists. And you're like, I don't want
to
do that.
I'd rather go to a local place.
Yeah, I'd rather go to a local place. And I've told this story a million times, but Yelp actually took us through this alley in the middle. I would have never looked to this place called, I think, the Lamb and the Fig or something like that. From Elizabethan times. No joke. I mean, this was an old, old, old pub. And they had a Sunday roast to die for. It was the best thing ever. It was so, so very London. And so I do that at home sometimes. I'm across town and I'm like, oh, it's time to eat. Where can I eat? And I try to find someplace that I've never tried before. But I use it all the time when I'm traveling. We did our entire trip in Paris. We have some recommendations that we give our clients. So I went to a couple of those. And then the rest, I was trying to find new recommendations, and some of them ended up being touristy and some of them weren't, but they were all very good. Usually the reviews are pretty trustworthy on that. If you read enough of them, don't just read the first one. Read a few, to see, because you'll get an idea too of what mood the people were in when they wrote it, and whether or not they lived there or they were just traveling through, or what have you. So what their expectations
were. When we were in Baltimore, Donna gave us a good little tip about finding restaurants. It's not an app, but it was a great, good little trip. And I shared it with a lot of clients and friends.
Are you going to tell us what it is?
I don't remember what it was. It was that if you open up Google Maps and put in diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That anywhere you are domestically that show has been, you can, it'll pull up the restaurants that he's been to.
But Laura, there is an app for Food Network. Food Network locations. And then there's also two other ones I use. Have you used Zomato, Elizabeth?
I have not.
Zomato and Resy, and they're both really good for like unique restaurants and things that you're not going to find kind of anywhere else. And I think the user format's a little easier on the eyes on those than it is on Yelp for me.
Yeah, Yelp takes some getting used to.
I'm a visual person, and I want to see the pictures of the food.
Yeah.
And then just pictures of food. That's all I want.
Yeah, and also some pictures of food. Yeah, on Yelp, the thing about Yelp that tricks me a lot is they will start giving you recommendations for similar restaurants or other restaurants in the area before you get to the reviews for the restaurant you're looking at. So you think you're reading the reviews for the restaurant you're looking at, and you're really reading the reviews for another restaurant that they're also trying to recommend to you. So you have to really know your Yelp and know where everything is. But it has been a total gem for me.
So let's move past food, though, because, you know.
Why?
I mean, I guess there's other stuff besides food and drink. When you're, let's say, let's take it back to Disney and we're waiting in line. What are some apps that you guys use to kind of pass the time?
Heads Up. Woo, woo.
I know, right?
That has saved my family.
And there's a special one you can only download in the park. Like, yes. It's free. It's mm-hmm. a free add-on that you can only do if you're in the Disney parks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we do that one. There's another. Well, Disney has just come out with Disney Play, which mm-hmm. I'll be testing out. I guess you're going to be testing it out, too.
Yep.
And I was telling my kids to download this so we can all play it together. And they're like, well, we've already downloaded Fortnite. And
Well, Marcus downloaded it today, so we can get a kid's review of it when we get back.
I'll make them do it.
Yeah.
I might make them wear matching t-shirts,
and then,
too.
I mean, when you're on Princess Cruises, you can also do their Ocean Medallion mm-hmm. app, the Play Ocean app, and that one has games. You can get your drinks actually brought to you while you're sitting on the deck at the pool.
On ships where it's active. It's not on the whole
where
fleet.
Where it's active, correct.
They also have something to do with the casino, right? They have, like, casino games on it, don't they?
They do. They do. Yeah. And a lot of the cruise lines have the apps where you can find out what time shows are and
message your friends mm-hmm. and
message your friends and things like that. And then I did notice when I was in Mexico recently that several of the resorts I was at had apps as well.
Yep. I know Unico has one. I actually downloaded it, and every now and then I get a notification from them saying, come to the dance party at 8:00. I'm like, if only. I wish I had. If only. But, yeah, I think, and actually I asked my son this morning if he had any suggestions, and the first thing he said was the cruise line apps. He uses those all the time. Mm-hmm. And he uses them not only on board, but they also, many of them have countdowns to your cruise. So he'll always set the countdown when he knows we're going on a cruise.
So,
yeah, he loves that.
Well, I know for, like, Disney, they have those wave phones in the room, mm-hmm. which at the time, you know, it was like better than sliced bread. You can actually keep in touch with people. But now that everybody, even children, have cell phones, the app is kind of the way to go. And I'm wondering if their new ships will even have the wave phones.
It's a good question. Yeah. Or if they'll be phased out on the old ships.
Yeah.
It's a good question. As their app gets better, I think it's possible. And then the other stuff we do in line, unfortunately, tends to be playing solitaire and stuff like that. So that's why I really like the games like Heads Up, where we can play together. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, too, because we found, I'm sure you found this, too, if you've played Heads Up, people in line around you get into it as well. Because they can see, you know, the thing. So they'll start playing along, and it's really fun. It's a great way to get to know people. Even for somebody like me, who doesn't like to get to know people, it is. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, my son will miss one, and they'll be like, no! So it's fun.
How could you not know that?
It's definitely fun. Any trivia games like that, or, you know, trivia type game, that's more of a charades kind of game, sort of, but or a password kind of game.
Well, in Disney, too, they had, in Epcot, the Agent P, you know, mm-hmm. kind of scavenger hunt game, and that you can do on your phone now. And I think that's going to be through the Play app.
Oh, so, I like that.
Yeah.
They don't give out phones anymore. They just have you use your...
When we discovered that game, it was like, my husband met so many other dads. They were like, this is the best thing ever. They're all like drinking their beers while their kids are running around the countries. Yeah.
Yep.
Genius.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that was awesome.
One of the things that I do in line, well, I've watched Game of Thrones in line, so I really can't.
You're the one.
And my, I had to catch up. It was, I knew someone was going to spoil it for me, and I was in line for Pandora for like 4 hours, so what else are you going to do?
Yeah. Catch up. Nice. All right, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or you can search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. On behalf of Laura, Donna, Lindsay, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!